Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our show guides the listening audience in an interactive conversation on effective parenting. In this particular episode, we'll focus on developing leadership skills in children as well as parents. Listeners are invited to bring their questions as well as share their parenting experience to the Learning Lab. With that, I bring to you your host for tonight's show, Mark Shaheen and Trisha Saluddin. Assalamu alaikum, Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مبارك. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Dr. Patricia Small-Dean of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we have been on the airwaves getting closer and closer to 6 years come January 2023. And those of you who are listening for the first time, Dr. Small-Dean and I would want to make you very, very welcome and want to make you a participant in the Learning Lab, as this is your Learning Lab. So we do invite you to ask questions and make comments on anything, information that we may disseminate here tonight on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And you can do that by pressing 1. And those of you that are listening by way of the Internet, we are very much aware that you are tuned in by way of the Internet. For you to be a participant in the Learning Lab, you do have to dial into the studio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673. 714-816-4673. We ask that you bring an open mind, open heart, and bring your pen and notebook, because there will be some noteworthy things that will be said. And we do want you to take notes and to be a participant, as this is an inclusive learning lab. We want you to know that the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab has a foundation, and we have three sources that we use. Number one is Al Quran, which is the completion or the final revelation given by Almighty God to all of humanity. And then we have the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, and the demonstration, the living demonstration of living the Quran. And last but not least, the Tafsir, the clear explanation by our scholarly leader and teacher, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. We also want you to know that we have an outstanding text, a book that we're using, which is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, Practical Applications for Various Ages. That has been the textbook we use for the last few months here. And we also want you to know that we have established some staples here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. As Imam Muhammad has said, in definition is direction, and I've also added correction. We've given a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility not only for the mother, but also for the father in helping to nurture and cultivate those vital components that comprise the holistic human being. And we also have said that it is the role and responsibility of parents to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, and then their community. And we say, inshallah, which simply means, God willing, the parents having an understanding and being consciously regardful of their role and responsibility and relationship to their children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. And we also have established here on the Learning Lab that is Almighty God, Allah, who is the first teacher for his human creation. And he's given the honor and distinction to the mother, first and foremost, to be the first teacher and leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, which meaning that she would be the one that will first give the care and the nurturing, the cultivating, and giving the foundational teachings that our baby girls and baby boys will need for their life. And so with that being said, it's traditional here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to always have an overview from our previous session here on IWDM Radio. And for that, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Salaruddin. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salaruddin, and how are you this Wednesday evening on the eve of Thanksgiving?
Wa alaikum assalam, Mark. Alhamdulillah, I am doing well on the eve of Thanksgiving, and I pray that you are well too. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Always amped up and really amped up tonight and ready to go tonight. As we know that the family life is the cornerstone of human society, and if we're ever going to correct the mistakes and things that we see, the things that we dislike in the society, it has to start right there in the family life. So, alhamdulillah, back to you.
Thank you, Mark. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we are using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and Sunnah by Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rita Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publications, www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. In last week's episode, we continued with the topic, respect, teaching our children to be respectful of Allah, self, and others. And Brother Mark started the conversation by explaining the connection between respect and al-Fatiha. Through his explanation, he shared the meaning of the attributes ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim and the importance of teaching children these two attributes of Allah. Our first caller, Professor Aisha Mustafa, shared the dynamics of her family to emphasize that as Allah has intended, it takes both parents to raise a family. And Brother Mark added that both parents must be working together to make a successful family environment. We also pointed out that for children to become leaders, they must learn to be respectful. Another caller shared that respect, manners, and attitude are very closely connected, and having them as a part of the person's demeanor is very beneficial to the success of the individual. Being successful is another benefit for teaching a child to be respectful. Another caller advised that we show children the best behavior because children are watching and we emulate what they see. As you can see, we had a active learning lab last week. Brother Mark provided a saying from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The Prophet said that parents owe to their children two obligations. One, to give them a good name, a name with significance and value that they can live up to, and two, to teach them good manners. In conclusion, we close by reminding the listeners that children learn what they live. Parents should be aware of what is happening in the child's environment. Respect is a two-way experience. We must show respect for children if we want children to respect us, to respect themselves and others. Most important is that we teach children to respect Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, their creator and sustainer. This is the first lesson of respect. Back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. And that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. And I want to commend you, Dr. Patricia Salaruddin, is always doing an excellent job in the overview for what we covered last week. And can't underscore it enough. It's so very, very important that respect has to grow up in our children This is vitally important. And if we teach our children, first and foremost, to have the utmost respect for their Lord and Creator, and we use the Quran to actually do that, showing how Allah extends his two mercies to us, first and foremost to teach us, but also to give to us those qualities that actually indicators that Allah loves us, he cares for us, he's compassionate, he's understanding of his creation, of his human creation. And so in terms of having that and understanding how Allah has created us, that if when we live the deen, it is the root meaning of deen is obligation. There is an obligation that it is that we have. And an obligation is that we owe. It's a debt that we owe to Almighty God Allah to live our life in accordance with Almighty God Allah. So this is very, very important that we teach our children that. And then it's a domino effect, and then it's the parents that do the respect, always the mother and the father, and then the elders, and it goes on and on. And just your neighbors, your fellow man, is to do respect, because everyone is a creation of Almighty God Allah. So thank you so much once again, Dr. Patricia Slaudin. I think we got an interesting topic tonight out of this outstanding publication by the Bashirs, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, Practical Application for Various Ages. And so we'll go back to you for what tonight's topic will be. And we want to say to those of you who just tuned in, you are listening to IWDN Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And so we do invite you to press 1 at any point if you have a question or comment, or if what you heard tonight is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you. So once again, back to you, Dr. Slaudin.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Yes, we do have a very interesting topic tonight. Encourage and emphasize positive actions. And we can't stress positivity enough. So the author said, the author's given us, started us off with Quranic verse and also a hadith that I'm going to share with our audience. Without a doubt, Islam is a practical religion. As such, Islamic injunctions are within the capabilities of those who believe. This fact is clearly indicated in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah does not burden any soul beyond its capability. This concept is further emphasized by the hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, which says, whatever I order you to do, do it as best you can. And whatever I forbid you to do, avoid it completely. Now then the authors give us examples of the methodology that the Prophet uses. It is clear from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden any soul with more than it can handle. And that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, advised us to make things easy for people, not difficult. In addition, encouraging and emphasizing positive action was always part of the Prophet's, peace and blessings be upon him, methodology in helping Muslims fulfill their religious commitment and elevate the level of iman and Islamic practices. It was reported about Talha ibn Ubaid Allah that a man from the Arab people came to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and said, O Prophet of Allah, tell me what Allah has ordered me to do in terms of prayer. The Prophet said, the 5 daily prayers, unless you want to volunteer more. The man said, O Prophet of Allah, tell me what Allah has ordered me to do in terms of fasting. The Prophet said, the month of Ramadan, unless you want to volunteer more. The man said, O Prophet of Allah, Tell me what Allah has ordered me to do in terms of zakat. The prophet said, the prophet told him. The man then said, by Allah who honored you with the truth, I am not going to do any more or any less than what Allah has ordered me to do. The prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, this man will achieve prosperity if he does what he said he will do. This shows how the prophet emphasized the positive aspect of what the man said and encouraged him. He did not ask him to do more simply because if someone starts to practice acts of worship in the proper way, eventually she will find the beauty and sweetness of it and will do more on her own. However, if the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, had asked the man to do more, he may have felt that it was too much and might not have started to practice at all. It is important for parents to observe this principle during the tarbiyah process with their children. Parents should only ask children to do what they are able to do, and they should praise them for their achievement. This will encourage them to do more. Encouragement is a great motivator that ensures high self-esteem, self-confidence, and helps the child to be ready for new challenges. And we can stop there, Mark, before
yes,
we go on.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So I think that this, there's some very excellent commentary and information in terms of encouragement and also encouraging our children through positive action. In Surah Baqarah, which is the second chapter, as most of you know, and it's the longest surah in the Quran, with a lot of information in regards to us as human beings, it's important to know that Allah does not place a burden. So when you say burden, he does not put something on us that's more than it is that we can bear in terms of even responsibility. You can see how this correlates with the man coming to the prophet and asking in regards to what is it that he's obligated to do. You see, so when we're raising our children, we have to use the Quran. We have to look at the Quran and see what is it that Allah does in regards to what it is that we're obligated to do. So when we're talking about burden, I remember, you know, Dr. Slaudine, my grandmother used to say when I was a boy, she said, every tub got to sit on its own bottom. That was an old Mississippi saying. But what was she saying? Every tub got to sit on its own bottom. Every tub or everybody have to take responsibility for themselves, you see. So Allah does not overload us, whereas that it will produce stress in our life. Allah wants us to be able to grow and develop. Allah says throughout the Quran, he wants to make it easy for us. He does not want difficulty for us. But it is important you understand that Allah challenges us with certain things. This is very needed and necessary for the growth and development. So it's very important, you know, when we relate that to children in terms of what it is that we require them to do, and when we're teaching them, that we take a positive attitude and we take positive actions in what it is that we say to our children. Sometimes we can see that they may fall short of what it is that we would like to see in them. But we have to be mindful that they are growing and developing. You know, I know that you're going to give a couple of examples, but we have to be mindful that they're growing and developing. They are not where we are. And remember that once upon a time, we were where they're at. You know, if we've heard this saying, been there and done that. So we shouldn't divorce ourselves from the age and the stage that our children are, and understanding where they are and understanding that there's a natural growth development. So every opportunity that we get to encourage them, to give them words of affirmation, to be an encouragement to them, this helps to improve and enhance their self-esteem. this is very important in terms of how our children actually should feel about themselves and everything. And parenting parenting and parents have a lot to do with that. When we talk about the Arabic terminology, tarbiyah is actually parenting, but it also includes educating, cultivating our children. It's like trying to separate the wet out of water. You can't do it. If it's water, it's going to be wet. It's like trying to separate the heat out of fire. If it's fire, it's going to have heat and it's going to be hot. It's like trying to separate the cold out of ice. If it's ice, it's going to be cold. So tarbiyah, in terms of looking at that from that perspective, parenting is educating. You can't be a good parent without educating and cultivating and stimulating and motivating our children. Very, very important. So we use the Quran, you know, because Allah wants us to be all we can be and to realize our full potential. But if it becomes very despairing, we have a despairing attitude, or we feel as though we can't achieve or can't accomplish, and the life is burdened too much, then we can't expect that. So Allah is showing us in His Sunnah, in His way, in Revelation, but the Prophet Muhammad also extends that to those who come to him and for his advice. So hopefully I said a lot there, but hopefully you're taking some good notes with your pen and pad, and we do invite you to press 1, anything we say. So Dr. Salahuddin, that was a lot that was said by the authors, the Bashirs there. So anything that in particular stood out for you in all of that information that you just read?
Yes, Mark. The mere fact that we have the opportunity to teach our children the way of things that are the positive things, to teach them how to do the best, but at the same time not to be overbearing with them when we want them to do their best. So the example that they gave us with the prophet in handling the believer who came and asked the question about the prayer and about fasting and about zakat, the prophet just gave him the basics. He didn't give him any extra. He just gave him the basics. And sometimes when we ask questions about things from other people, that we get a lot more than we can handle. And sometimes we back away because, oh, I can't do that. But that's not how the prophet did it. He's embracing dip on him. And so we must remember that example and apply that when we are working with our children, when we are raising our children. Keep in mind the level of the age of the child, and sometimes not only the age of the child, but you know your child. You should know your child. So you should know. Yes, you should know what that child can handle, because maybe one child can handle more than another child. So you would be conscious of that. So knowing your children is important, and it's not, and the knowledge of the fitra of the child, the true nature of the child is also important. So parents should spend some time learning about the nature of children. If they have a 5-year-old, what's the 5-year-old normally will do? What's their behavior pattern? If you have a teenager, know what the behavior pattern of that teenager. And I must say that parenting doesn't stop when your child becomes an adult. It does not.
That's right.
So you continue. So know that child as an adult. Know that, you know, how to handle advising your child or guiding your child or children when they are adults. So, yeah, that's what I got from that session.
You got quite a bit from there. I just want to add, because I'm going to check with Rashid Salam in a minute to see if we got any hands in the air that have been raised. Also, you know, from that hadith that was reported, how the prophet gave the information to the man that came to him. Also in there, it's very important. He stated, like you said, the basic and fundamentals, but he also inferred that if you choose to do more, if you choose to do more, which says that, you know, we should allow the freedom for our children to choose to do more. So the freedom of choice is inferred in that because the Prophet Muhammad said what the five obligatory default prayers were, in terms of fasting in the month of Ramadan, in terms of the zakat. But you could always do more if you choose to do more, which is inferring that the freedom to choose to do more. You want it, whereas it, okay, this is what's basic and fundamental. Okay, you do that and you're good. And the Prophet Muhammad said, really, said that if this man did what he said that he would do, that he vowed that he would do, then this man ultimately would get the paradise, you see. But he could choose to do more. And this is why we have to, we separate in terms of what is fard and what is sunnah, what is obligatory, and the extra that the Prophet did. But that's not obligatory. So that is a choice, and Allah is respecting his human creation to freely make a choice. Before we continue, we're going to go to Rashid Salam and see if there's any hands in the air, any listeners that would like to ask a question or make a comment, or perhaps Rashid Salam. I know you've been tuning in, listening in. You might want to say something. Rashid?
I have something to say, but someone just raised their hand, so I'm going to take that person first, and I'll comment after that. So we're going to bring on 773-449. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is currently open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amir Muhammad from Chicago. I haven't been too long tuned in, but what I've been hearing, I'm related to here. I have five children. And each personality is different. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
Not only raised my five, but I raised my grandson, and he's like a month younger than my youngest son. And my youngest son and him, they were what they call ADH children, and it was like having twins. It was like having twins. And but their personality was so similar, unlike my other children, you know. And I found myself a young parent just always trying to figure out how to deal with their behavior. It was like being on a teeter-totter, you know, a merry-go-round, you know, because they was always in motion, always in motion. And finally I was getting to a point where I was just becoming a nervous wreck. And I said, no, I say, it's got to be man over matter. So I started looking beyond what knowledge I had, which is very little because I started young having children. And I began to get advice from other parents. And I saw that what was missing for me what I had learned from others, it made a big difference. It made a really big difference. And now, you know, they're all adults. All of my children and my grandson are all adults. And even now, you know, some children, even though they get to be adults, they still like their children. And they always want to seem to depend on the parent, you know. But I handle them all differently, and I look to what I learned along the way that I didn't know that I know now, and it makes a difference, and I can better relate to them with a better understanding, and we all have a good relationship now. But at one point, it was like, I just don't know if I can do this, you know. But Allah blessed me to get knowledge along the way, you know, and we have to be open that we, even though we're parents, we don't know everything, you know, and we should always be open to learn more. And I'll pray to Allah, that's what I did, and I have a very good relationship with my children as well as my grandson. So,
Yeah, thank you so much, Sister Amira, you know, Muhammad, for calling in and actually sharing that, because that was a test to what Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean just said in terms of it's very, very important to know your children and, you know, and the various approaches and methodology for being able to relate to them and what is most effective in relating and communicating with them. So thank you so much. And you know, it's a OJT on the job training when you're parenting, because there is there's no books that you get when you start raising your children. Rashid Salam, we're going to say, Amira, please press 1 as you go out the queue to keep the studio clear. Any other hands in the air? If not, Rashid, feel free to share anything that comes to mind on this topic.
Just a couple comments. And Sister Amira made it very plain about the life manual and not knowing all we are is a culmination of our life experiences. So if we don't have those experiences, then it's very difficult to do what you do. But as you were talking, you know, two things came to my mind. One was that as a parent, sometimes we forget that we were a child too. You know?
Absolutely.
It's amazing. So what happened with that is that George Washington Carver's quote came to my mind, a very beautiful quote. He said, how far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate to the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and strong, because someday in life, you will be all of these. So it was just letting us know what you don't know now don't really matter. But as the show is on, not only because you raise your children, guess what? It's still important for you to know how to talk to your grandchildren and also inform your children on what they didn't, that you didn't know, that you can help them out so they can do better with their children. The name of the game is we're trying to correct past mistakes of our forefathers, and that's why we're here. That's one of our purposes, to correct all the mistakes that were made so we're never too old to be on Parent and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, you know. So I just wanted to say that and take those.
No, alhamdulillah, you said a mouthful, and that's a quote, that quote by Dr. George Washington Carver. I would say that if you can get it, post it somewhere that you go every day. If you're raising children or you're raising your grandchildren, if it's on the refrigerator, or it's right there where your laptop is, someplace that you're going to see, that is something that is worth memorizing. Very, very important, because it serves as a reminder. Just like what Rashid said, it serves as a reminder.
Well,
that's the way they used to teach back in the day. You know, anything is important is that you got to learn it by heart. That's what my mother meant. So when you learn it by heart, then that means that you have an affinity for it. It's special, you understand, and it's a part of you. And also, please, you know, here I'm gonna have him to say that again before we sign off this learning lab. That's a powerful, powerful, powerful quote. That he just gave Dr. George Washington Carver. So, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, I know that the authors had a little bit more to say there in terms of maybe, say, practical applications. And this is one of the things that I really love about this book. It gives something from the Quran. It gives something from the life of the Prophet in living the Quran. But it also gives some practical applications as to how we can actually instill these things are in our children. So, Dr. Slaudine, would you like to share that, what our authors
yes.
have suggested?
Yes, yes, indeed. So the authors continue with encourage your child. For example, if he spends some time coloring a picture, your response should be, Masha Allah, you spent all this time coloring this nice picture. What a great effort, my dear. Even if the colors were not the best ones for the pictures or the child did not color within the lines, do not emphasize this. Instead, you should emphasize the effort that your child made in coloring the picture. Emphasizing the children's shortcomings has been proven to discourage them from trying the same type of activity again. As parents, you do not want to discourage your child and end up with such results. Now, that's a very good example of
yes.
Encouraging your child and also building their self-confidence. It also builds self-confidence.
That's right. You know, as you said, that, you know, Dr. Slaudine, you know, as a wordologist, I have given this word before in terms of what it is that you should say. Actually, the authors are saying what it is that you should say in regards to the effort, you know. In the word think, the I stands for inspiring. You want to say something that's inspirational to our children. Because now remember, you know, if they're coloring, that would say we see children begin to color in the first stage, which is the imprinting stage. So you have to connect this, the imprinting stage, where impressions are being made upon them. And what is being said to them, or the action that you take in reacting to what it is that they do. So when you understand that, you want to leave a good impression. You want to leave a good imprint upon them, even though they're not staying within the lines, even though they may be heavy with the Crayola, you see. But you want to leave a good impression because you want them to continue to work on it and work on it. And we know that the more you do something, guess what? The better you get at that. So understanding that they're in that stage, you know, up to 7 years, from 0 to 7 years of age, and oftentimes they like to come. And even businesses now, you go into even fast food business, if you go to fast food restaurants or even the sit-down type restaurants, they actually have adopted and seen this in terms of keeping the children occupied in doing something and having some pictures that they can actually color, you know. So this is an excellent example in what it is that you should say to them. And when they're in this imprinting stage, you want to make as many positive imprints or impressions upon them and what it is that they're doing. Remember, they're at that age and stage. And remember, as Dr. Slaudine has said and Rashid Salam has said, you've been at that stage before in your life too. Did your parent encourage you, or did they say some discouraging thing? Look at you. You're all outside. Stay inside there. You're not doing it right. Let me show you. No, you don't want to do that. You want to say something that's good. So please continue. Dr. Slaudine, if you would.
Okay, Mark, I want to add something to that.
Yes, ma'am.
When it comes to knowing and having knowledge, you may find that that one that does not color within the line may be the true artist. That one that may not color within the line may be the creative
the artist that has an imagination.
Exactly. So if they don't color within the line, that's telling you something right there. He or she may be that creative mind is working, and it may be that they are the true artists there.
They might be the true artists there. You know, I never thought about that. Yeah, that's just like what they say, thinking outside the box.
A true example of that. So leave those lines alone. Let them color where they want and the color that they want also.
Right.
The choices of color and all that's telling. That is really, those are signs, and that most parents don't read them. They can't read them because they don't know. So it's
right.
Know. So having that knowledge is a very important thing. The authors continue with another example that they give us, and this one says, another example of discouraging the child often occurs in parents' responses and comments to the child during prayer training. Usually parents ask the child to stay in the same line with them during the Juma prayer. Of course, a young child's attention span is very short, and it is very difficult for her to stand still for a long time. Therefore, she will naturally move during the prayer. The big mistake that some parents make is that as soon as the prayer finishes, they reprimand the child by saying, "How many times have I told you not to move during the prayer?" This is a discouraging comment. Such a comment is emphasizing the child's negative action. Instead, the parent should say, "Masha'Allah, you were able to stand still during the whole first rakat of the prayer. This is good. Inshallah, next time you can do two rakat." And this is the last example that the authors give us about encouraging our children.
Yeah, so Dr. Salahuddin, you know, I know you've probably seen it over the years, and children are great imitators and everything. So when you hear that and see what the authors are actually saying to produce something positive in our children, you know, you always want them to have a positive attitude in terms of what they're doing. How do you see that, you know, you see that as it would work on the psychology or, you know, and even the emotionality of our children?
That's a good question, Mark, because what we have, what could result from that is a child disliking prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely do not want that to happen. We
want the
child to be endeared to prayer. We want the child to feel like prayer is a positive thing and that's something that's good to do and not feeling negative about prayer, and when they have an opportunity to not do it when they grow up, they won't do it, and that's because they've had such negative experience with making prayer. And sometimes you see people even you go into environments and people, even as an adult, or you know, let me say a convert or revert, goes into an environment or just regular people, and someone is beating you over the head about something that you did or did not do that they felt, you know, was un-Islamic or you didn't do it the right way. No one likes to have that. You know, no one likes to feel like that they, you know, to be talked to like that. No one wants that.
Right.
And I remember my daughter shared an experience with me when she went to a masjid she was traveling with her husband at the time, and she went to this masjid, and she didn't have, she had on a scarf, but it wasn't wrapped the way they thought it should be wrapped. So she was making sunnah prayer, and someone threw a scarf at her. And she remembers that, you know, like how rude. So even adults, you can have those kind of negative experience in an environment in the masjid. from not just child adult, but adult from adult to adult.
Yes.
And it's just not the way that we should treat each other. So, a parent can actually put, as we say sometimes, put a bad taste in your mouth about anything that's related to our religion, and we do not want to do that. You do not want to be responsible for turning someone away from the religion.
Absolutely.
So,
and I think that's a great response that you got. You know, I was thinking also when it comes to just like that's an excellent example that the authors give, and I think that sometimes as parents, when it comes to Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan, you know, once again, the child makes an effort, you understand, because children actually learn what they live. So if everybody that's in the house that observing the holy blessed month of Ramadan by fasting, don't be surprised if your children say, Mama, I want to fast. Daddy, I want to fast. Let me fast, okay? So depending on the age and stage where they are, chances are they won't be able to complete the whole fast. But if they start out doing 3 hours or 4 hours or what in that regard, then you have to commend them on what it is that they were able to do. What that does is it has a positive effect psychologically and emotionally on them. You see, it is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that he always would give the advice that would make it easy on the believer. And Allah tells us in the Quran that he doesn't want hardship. All throughout the Quran, he doesn't want hardship. So when you look at what Allah is saying, and then you look at what the Prophet demonstrated and what he was saying, then we should come to the conclusion that we don't want to make it difficult for our children as they begin to try to learn and practice this way of life. You know, every step that they make, you know how elated we get when our babies are able to pull up. Oh, they pull up. Now they're standing up. And then they may fall back down, but they get back up again. And then you're holding their hands while they make their little baby steps. We said baby steps, right? So at some point, we turn their hands loose, and they walk to us without us having to hold their hand. And everybody just clap, and everybody, you know, have a smile on their face. But this is leaving an impression on them. I did something good. And this is what it is that we want, you know, our children to see, that what it is that they try to do in the religion, even though they may not have the self-discipline, like to be able to do the 4 rak'ahs, but they did too. So alhamdulillah. But in time, you understand, they'll be able to do all of them. You have to look at their growth and development as a natural growth and development. It's a progression they have. And you commend them for what it is that they can do. You commend them for how long they can possibly fast. They may be accustomed to eating, maybe say all day or whenever they have a taste for something. But Allah is saying that that's for us so that we may learn self-restraint. Well, it takes time to develop that. And look how many adults don't have self-restraint, self-discipline, self-management, self-control, you see? So that's a natural progression. So commend them for what it is that they do. And even when it comes to the zakat, when I was going to church, my mother would always give me and my brothers, when we would go to Sunday school, and when we would go to the 11 o'clock service, She always would give us a nickel, at least a nickel. Sometimes it would be a dime. You know, if she had it, she would give us a dime. But we always had a nickel. We always had to give something. This is very, very important that we begin to allow our children to give something, and maybe to give something out of what it is that they may have saved. Very, very important. I could say more, but I think I said enough. Dr. Saladin, and you are listening to IWDM Radio. You're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we're talking tonight in terms of encouraging our children and also having taken positive actions in terms of instilling that into our children, because we want them to have the best self-esteem and regard for themselves. We want that to grow up in them. And as parents, in parenting and educating our children, that's called tarbiya in the Arabic, that we play a vital role in the educating and nurturing and cultivating that in our children. And so as Allah doesn't put a burden or any soul that it can't bear, we don't want to be burdensome to our children as they are in the growth and developmental stage. Very, very important. And this is something that the Prophet Muhammad, you understand, in living the Quran, he never put a heavy burden. He just taught the basic and fundamentals. And as we practice the basic and fundamentals in this way of this religion, our children will want to join us and do what they can, but don't get on them because they're not able at the point of growth and development where they are to do what it is that we have been able to do. And sometimes it's been a growth and development for many of us, too. You know, just think back, as Rashid Salam. We forget that once we were children, too. Alhamdulillah. So, Rashid Salam, anybody with their hands up? We ask you to press 1. We do have a few minutes left before the top of the hour. Anybody with their hands up?
Nobody with their hands up, Mark. But let me just say this one closing remark for me. You know, all the things that you're talking about, you know, you're establishing this thing called friendship. And a friend is a priceless possession. So by us being in a position to share, be patient, be tolerant with our children, you're establishing this bond of friendship that we're going to need as we get older with our children. Because, you know, we become their friends at a certain point in time. That's priceless,
right.
Priceless possession, you know, so we should always think about that value.
Well, you know, Rashid, you really said a mouthful, and we probably don't have time to really expand upon that. But, you know, Dr. Saladin, you remember that we were talking about the stages, and we were talking about Ali, who was the first cousin of Prophet Muhammad. It was reported that he said that in the first 7 years you should play with your children, and the next 7 years that you should teach them to adapt, which becomes a clocking in of the self-discipline, the etiquette, the manners in different situations. That's vitally, vitally important. And then he said in the last 7 years, which is 14 to 21, that you should be their friend. And I think what Rashid Salam just hit on is vitally important, because that is what it is that you're building. And this is contrary. This is contrary to what many of us heard when we was coming up. I don't play with children. I'm not your friend. You know, no, play with them from 0 to 7. You understand? And teach them the adab, the proper etiquette, the proper manners, so that grow up in them, and the discipline, not external, the internal discipline, the, what we call self-discipline. And then after that, be their friend, because then you have to let loose the reins. No, you want them to be your friend because we use that word bond. You want to have that natural bond, the bonding. You want to build on natural development in nurturing the growth. But if you don't know what it is you should say and you should do, the natural development that would naturally happen in terms of friendship, it won't grow and it won't develop. And so that becomes a natural bond that comes between you and your children, where they always will feel free that they can come to you for advice. So, Dr. Salahuddin, I think we got maybe say a minute. I'm going to give that to you for any closing remarks that you have. I've enjoyed this topic tonight. And what about you? What would you like to leave with the radio listening audience?
It's definitely a positive topic, and anything positive is enjoyable, I think. Tonight, I would say, like to leave with our audience, just to remember that we want our children to love Islam. We want our children to live Islam. And so if we give them a positive experience as they're growing up, then we're setting the groundwork for them to to develop that love and endearment to Islam, to our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, and number one, of course, to our Creator, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what we want to do for our children. And having that, approaching everything in a positive manner, that's the same for us, accomplish that. And inshallah, we accomplish that with our children and with our grandchildren.
Alhamdulillah. Very well said. Excellent closing comments, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. It's always an honor to have you here each and every Wednesday, and Allah bless you to share your insight and wisdom with us here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Thank the radio listening audience for tuning in and listening to this learning lab, and ask that you make sure that you bring other family members and friends and community members along with you. There's a lot to be learned on this learning lab, very, very important. And so until next week, when they give you the greetings, and hopefully, Dr. Salahuddin, that maybe you can be one of the first callers as the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. All the our listeners, I've invited them to be our guests. And the question that I'm looking for commentary on the MGM Roundtable tonight would be, what does Thanksgiving mean to you? What does Thanksgiving mean to you? Just want to hear from my radio listening audience, as you will be my very distinguished and esteemed guest tonight. So I want you just to be thinking about that. What does Thanksgiving mean to you? And want to say before we transition to the MGM Roundtable that generally on Thursday is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. However, we are all aware that on the Gregorian calendar, and it's a holiday that I think all of us can respect, and we have that time with our family and friends and maybe community members in all the day of Thanksgiving. So as a tradition for Mark Shaheed, I don't broadcast on Thanksgiving Day. So on IWDM tomorrow, which is Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to ask you to enjoy that day with your family, your friends, or community members in all tomorrow, so it won't be a live broadcast. However, we will return, God willing, inshallah, on December the 1st with Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and all, and that always starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time with our beloved Sister Quran Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. So in transitioning to the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver, of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshiped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. And we further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed, and want to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give. And it becomes an obligation on the givers who are the recipient of that greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host and also the producer of the MGM Roundtable, where I like to bring and present to you each and every Wednesday very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, but also outside of our community, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, as we will choose the latter, in terms of topic that I think is pertinent to us as a community, as most of us for many, many years celebrate Thanksgiving. And many of us as Muslims and as believers, you know, we sit down with our family and our friends and maybe community members in a day in terms of actually acknowledging that day as to what it means to us. And so I thought that it would be incumbent upon having that as a topic here on the MGM Roundtable. So I've invited all of you that listen in, you understand, to call in and make comments in terms of what Thanksgiving is to you. I want to just say this from the outset, and I'll talk about what it is it means to me a little bit later on, but I think it's so very, very important on the Gregorian calendar when at least a day is set aside to bring about a consciousness in terms of Thanksgiving. In that regard. So with that being said, you know, I'm hoping that Dr. Patricia Slaudine, I know she may have to go, but if you're still there, Dr. Slaudine, your mic is still open, I'm going to ask you that question first and foremost, and we get something from Rashid Salam, and we're going to ask that our regular listening audience just press one, you know, and come on, and let's have a roundtable discussion in terms of what it means to you. How do you look at it from your perspective and from your base as a Muslim, as a movement, as a believer? So, Dr. Slaudine, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. My hand.
Yes, ma'am. So, just want to know, get your insight. What does Thanksgiving mean to you, Dr. Slaudine? How do you see it, and can and will you share with our radio listening audience?
Yes, I see it as a opportunity to gather with the family. I do know the backstory of the different thoughts about we don't celebrate Thanksgiving. It's not one of our holidays, et cetera. I've heard all of that. And I can appreciate that, and I can definitely not criticize or judge anyone on that issue, because I think they have a valid point. They have some points there. That Thanksgiving has been a tradition. It's not a religious holiday, so I see it doesn't interfere with our tradition of practice. So we use it as an opportunity to gather in our family, because a lot of days the children are working, and so we use it as an opportunity, and we always use that opportunity to gather together and be together and socialize and just, you know, the kind of things that we do as a family. We also seize an opportunity to give for others, because other people do celebrate celebrate this this holiday, and
mm-hmm.
They may not have everything they need to have a gathering that's fulfilling to them. So we also see the opportunity to give to others as well,
yes.
so that they may have the food and the things that they need to celebrate with their family or to gather with their family and to fellowship with their family members. So we do that. Our family, the grandchildren now, they have they participate in the preparation for the gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, now that they are young adults who are have jobs. And they are given specific assignments. My daughter makes sure that they get an assignment. It's like you're coming together, and you are going to provide. And she tells them exactly what they're going to give, and so they're practicing. They're practicing being
yes.
Responsible members of the family. And then if everybody has a every adult member has a responsibility. We make a menu, and then everybody decide what they're going to participate in the menu, what they're going to bring in the menu, and then we all prepare that. And when we come together, a lot of times they bring friends with them. Other people come to stop by, they come actually have dinner with us. And it's just a great time to be together with the family and the kids, the younger ones. They just really enjoy each other's company, and it's an opportunity for them to do that. So that's how we see it. We see it as an opportunity together, and we are always looking for opportunities together. So in this family, we're a big family, so we have just give us a reason. We will come together.
Yes.
So we've had two gatherings in October, and now here we are in November, and we'll probably have some other ones. We'll probably travel together in January. So we do a lot of things together. So this is one more opportunity to be together as a family.
Alhamdulillah. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, for sharing that. Then one of the operative words that you use is an opportunity, and I'm so glad that you was able to stick around for the round table here. I love that word opportunity, and it's a word challenges. I look very deep at that today. In today's society, we should look for opportunities to unite our family, to bring our family together for a good occasion. We just left the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. One of the things that help to reconstruct a destructive family is to come together, as they say, break bread together, just to share our experiences, because oftentimes we're not in this society, I call a microwave society, we're not always able to do that. And even sometimes with members of the immediate family, not to mention the extended family. And as you say, having a large family and, a rush society, we have to be here, we're going there. And some people may say they don't even have time for themselves, not to mention even their family. So this actually helps us to really give some thought about this and seeing it as an opportunity. And guess what? Nobody died. Nobody actually transitioned that generally would bring a family together. This is a bonus. This is a plus. This is a benefit in terms of actually doing that. And as you so eloquently articulated, even though it's on the calendar, it doesn't have a religious base. It doesn't have a religious base that's based in paganism or anything of that nature. in that regard. And our beloved leader and teacher, he always told us and taught us to always look for the good in things, you know. So it's a good thing. We have to recognize the good. It's a good thing that on the national calendar, there is a day that's set aside. Now, for us, you know, it may go a little bit deeper because we know every day is a day of thanksgiving, you see. But to have it on a national calendar where you can reunite with your family and come together, and I love the fact that you brought everybody, every adult has a responsibility to bring something, you know. This is the way it used to be back in the day, and we just don't have too many of those days today the way it used to be back in the day. But that's beautiful that you have a family that look for opportunities to come together. Thank you so very much for sharing that. That was very heartwarming. Thank you so much, Dr. Sharon Dean. And we're asking you to press 1 and to share. You are my invited guest. You're my very distinguished, esteemed guest here on the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Rashid Salam, do we have any hands in the air for those who would like to share? What does Thanksgiving mean to you? I know everybody out there, it means something to them. And don't fool yourself. You know you're going to be eating some turkey and dressing, duck and dressing, and macaroni and cheese, and maybe some greens, cranberry sauce. All those things. Come on, Rashid. Who's out there?
Yes, okay, we do have a hand raised, but I'm gonna go first here, and we're gonna get you from there.
Because you already know I'm gonna get you and everything. So, Rashid, so now I'm gonna go first. What does Thanksgiving mean to you, Rashid?
Man, that day. I mean, I can remember growing up in one of the best days of the year. Was either Thanksgiving or getting together for Christmas, where all the family members came together, you know, and we celebrated, we planned, we talked, we had fun, we saw the cousins and nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters. It was just a joyous occasion. It really was, you know. And one of the things it does, it's that reunion that happens every year. Sometimes we have family reunions, we have local reunions, but that day, Thanksgiving is the day to reunite with your family. So as we became Muslims, I'm the only Muslim in my family. I have a huge family. So I don't want – when I go to the – with Thanksgiving, it's like, oh, y'all celebrate too? What do you mean I'm celebrating? I'm just coming together. I'm thankful being here. So now you have that chance. Dawah, they see Muslims being normal. You know, they see Muslims participating in family events. We're not separating ourselves. Maybe you separated because you're a Christian or whatever you may be. You create this separation between us. When I participate, they see me as a normal person. Oh, wow, I didn't know Muslims did this. I didn't know. So it's a dawah opportunity for me.
That's right.
It really is.
That's right.
So we share. We act human. We all human beings. And I think you said the magic word. It's a consciousness that develops by participating and inspiring others to take this day as what it is. It's a day, and we should always use thanks for giving. You know,
that's right.
Whatever this is, just thanks for giving, because everybody gives that day. They give up their emotions, they give up their friendship, their family, and it's an opportunity for us to be thankful, for all of us to give something to our family, give something back to society, and not separate ourselves from things. Yeah. And I love what Patricia said. It's not a religious connotation to it.
It's not. Yeah, that's right. It doesn't have a religious or orientation nor base or anything. And Imam Muhammad did not want us to alienate ourselves. And this was one of the beautiful things that he actually taught us, even that when it came to even – if you're invited to your family and you know that they're Christians in terms of them, we don't, even when it comes to Christmas, we don't partake in, you know, in terms of the worshiping of Christ Jesus or what. But if there's an opportunity to be with your family in that regard, the prophet has said it best. And I want to, with this roundtable, to restore some balance, that we have to have in terms of Muslims, because this may be an excellent opportunity to dawah.
Yes,
I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but you made some very, very valid points in terms of how you see that and relating it back to when, in your childhood. And it was
right.
Just like you, it was a joyous time. And look, we can still have that. It's a joyous time, know, together. Because who would not want to be around their family and to see their brothers, their sisters, if their parents are still living, and their aunts, their uncles, and cousins, and what have you, friends, and all, what have you, in that part. Yes. So you say you had hand in the air?
Yeah, we have Henry, 773-449. I think it's Sister Amir from Chicago. Please
okay.
Calling from.
Yes, I'm sticking and staying. I felt like I'm sticking and staying, and I did go away.
Like my...
that's what I'm like. That menu that you laid out initially, Mark, I'm not cooking tomorrow, but I'm hoping that whoever house I'm going to, that they have a menu set out like what you just mentioned. That sounded pretty good to me, you know.
It sounds pretty good. I realized, but Amira, the great thing was, when I was a child, my eyes used to just get big. They get big as a bow dollar, those big silver dollars you used to have. And I said, wow, that's a lot of food. How are we going to eat all that food up? I'm a child, so I'm thinking, how are we going to eat all that food and everything? But it was just such a joyous occasion, and I was always, sweetness was always my weakness, and I'm looking at potato pies with pecans in them. I love sweet potato pies with pecans in them. I'm looking at pumpkin pies. I'm looking at banana pudding. I'm looking at German chocolate cake. I'm looking at homemade pound cake from scratch. I'm looking at all of this, and I'm like a child in the goodie store, I'm looking at the dessert, but I'm looking at, because I love vegetables and the greens. We always had greens. We always had macaroni and cheese, potato salad, cranberry sauce. We're talking about dressing. We're not talking about stuffing. We're talking about dressing. We have not only turkey, but we got duck. Sometimes my aunt them would do a goose. I'm like, all of this food, and it's like you're eating like it's a feast. It starts in the morning, and it goes all the way into the evening and all. So I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I'm getting excited about tomorrow already. So, Amira.
Me too. I just
what does Thanksgiving mean to you?
I just hope we have some carry-out plates because
Well, that was the thing back in the day, too. You could always go and eat so much food that you bring your – that's what you do, you BYOP. BYOP.
Yeah.
You bring your own plate.
That's right. I'm going to bring mine tomorrow. I got 3 or 4 stops to make, So.
They still do that.
You
have enough for a
3 rounds,
couple days,
No, go ahead.
No, I was just laughing what Rashid was saying. He goes to a couple places. That sounds like a good idea. And that's what we used to do in our younger days because, you're always going to have different relatives that may not show up because they're cooking at their home. And so you get an opportunity to bring home enough for a couple of days and you don't have to cook. But I'm thankful to Allah for my family and my extended family. They have stepchildren, too. And as a matter of fact, my intention is to go to one of my stepson's home, and that's where we're going to meet at. And but every year, in my younger days, we would have a big feast because I do have a big family as well. And I'm just looking forward to that. But another aspect for me for Thanksgiving is beyond just the feasting part. It's thankful to Allah for another, just for the gift of life, thanking Allah for Crystal family. Mm-hmm. Thanking Allah for the love, the people that love you in your life, and they really show that they love you unconditionally, you know. There's many people that's not here this year that was here last year, but they're not here this year.
That's
but you
right.
still, you know, thank Allah for having them in your life, you know, thanking Allah for your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much. Being a wordologist, Mark, you would know that there's so many different meanings to Thanksgiving, to, you know,
mm-hmm.
and thanks, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
and just,
mm-hmm.
you know, appreciation. So that's what Thanksgiving means to me, you know. More
Alhamdulillah. No, that's beautiful, and what it is that you said, because, you know, Amir, I think it's so very, very important when we look at the word Thanksgiving. And so as a wordologist, I often turn that word around. Thanksgiving is giving thanks. It's giving thanks.
Right.
And so when we look at Thanksgiving, from my perspective, even as a wordologist, but even as a conscious, regardful believer, you know, it's a day for actually giving thanks and being conscious of that. And then also being conscious of the many, many things that Almighty God, Allah, has blessed us with. I mean, you know, we should be focusing on that each and every day, because when we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, actually in Alhamdu, it is actually saying that the praise and the thanks, Alhamdulillah, that the praise and the thanks. This is something that Imam Muhammad taught us, most of us, to say all the praise is due to Allah. It is that all the praise is due to Allah, but Alhamdu also means that the thanks goes to Allah for blessing us to even be here, to be present today. And as Amir, you so eloquently articulated, that I know in our community family here in the Gateway City of St. Louis, Rashid, but how many transitions have we had since last year about this time? There's been numerous.
Quite a few
that have transitioned that's no longer with us, and maybe even in our personal family, you know. So to wake up each day and the soul has been restored to us, has been given back to us, this is something to be thankful for on a daily basis, because this is Allah saying to you and I've given you another opportunity. So it may not be all what it is that we want in life, and it may not be all this that we need, but Allah has given us another opportunity. So we give the thanks and we give the praise first and foremost to our Lord and Creator that has made this here possible, has made us human, and has given us so many things that oftentimes we just take for granted. And one of the things that I love, and it became traditional when I would observe Thanksgiving Day with my family from our roots there in Clarksdale, Mississippi, that we always would hold hands, and not just one person would give the Thanksgiving prayer. Everybody would have a turn to say what it is that they were thankful for. If you haven't done that as a family, that might be something that you might want to start doing and make it a tradition in your family. This helps to bring about a consciousness, a regardfulness of things that sometimes just go unnoticed or just you take for granted in that regard. And so you want to give everybody an opportunity to say something and what they're thankful for. You know, I often tell the story about the man that would come in to work every day. and he would say to one of his co-workers, he would always say to him, good morning. The man always would respond with a negative response, what's good about it? And so one day he came in, and he saw his co-worker on the elevator, and he didn't speak to him right away. He waited until he was ready to get off the elevator. And so he turns to the man and he says, good morning. And the man responded negatively like he usually did. He said, what's good about it? And just before the elevator door closed, he said to him, then try missing one. Try missing one. And you'll find something good about this day. And this is what it is that we have to look at in terms of seeing the good that it is that Allah has given to us. And oftentimes these things are overlooked. We're looking at the problems or the challenges, the situations, the circumstances that we may be in. And sometimes that clouds our vision in terms of the appreciation of the value for the things that Allah has given to us. If you don't believe that, then I challenge you to go to hospitals, go to nursing homes, go places where people, you understand, they're struggling for their life just to take another breath of air. Go and see how difficult it is for some people to get up to relieve themselves. See how difficult it is for a person just to reach out their hand. They can't do it anymore, to shake your hand. Just think about that people have to have people to do things for them because now they're no longer able to do those things for themselves. Think about the people, you understand, that can't put one foot before the other foot, the right foot in front of the left foot and the left foot in front of the right foot to make movement in their life. And I could go on and on and on and on and on because so many of these things, you understand, we just take for granted. But the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, you understand, that whatever it is, you understand, He still have given us the opportunity to be here. And He's still blessing us whether we recognize it or not. So, you know, when we look at the day of Thanksgiving, we have to be conscious and regardful of many of the things that we take for granted. What if we had to count how many times that we actually had to breathe in one day? How many breaths did we have to take? What if we had to count how many times our eyes should blink, you understand, to continuously have the liquid in the water in the eye, the saline in the eye to protect the eye and all? What if, it is that we would not have the sense in terms of smell, to be able to smell things, you understand, that may would endanger our life? All of these things, the ability to be able to taste good food, we're talking about cuisine, or just even the taste in terms on a higher level, in terms of experiencing things in our life that have brought about benefits to us. You know, the disguise in terms of blessings are lessons. Those are the blessings that's in disguise. What if we didn't learn anything from that? Do we give thanks to Allah for those things? And I could keep going on and on. And hopefully, I'm asking for those who are listening in, please press 1 and share. I could make it a monologue, and that could take us all the way to the top of the hour. Because there's so many things that we have to be thankful for. And it starts with Almighty God, Allah, in that regard. So, Rashid Salam, Amir, anything else you want to share? Your mic is still open, I believe.
No, I thought I had closed it. No, I'm fine. Thank you.
But thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Press 1 as you go out. Thank you so much, Amira, for sharing that, what Thanksgiving means to you. Ask my radio listener, please press 1. I know you can say something. Because you're going to be somewhere eating food. It's going to be at your house, your brother's house, your sister's house, your mother's house, grandmother's house, cousin's house, friend's house. Might be like Rashid Salam. He makes his rounds. He has enough food to last him for the rest of the week.
Yes, I mean, let all next week.
No, next week.
We do have a hand.
Anybody else? Rashid got their hands in there?
Yeah, we got 314-305. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
I know that. Yeah, alhamdulillah. That's my sister.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum assalam. Who are you and where you calling from?
This is Sister Donna, and I'm calling from St. Louis.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome, MGM Roundtable. What does Thanksgiving mean to you, Sister Donna?
Well, I always enjoyed holidays. You know, as a child, it meant the delicious food was coming out, the cakes, the pies, the turkey, everything, and it was just a wonderful time, and I was extremely, extremely blessed to have a mother and father who were very responsible, and the home was warm, the food was delicious and plentiful. So I was very blessed, and I realized that. But you were talking about sickness and what we should be thankful for. Every minute, somebody on this dies from hunger. They have nothing to eat. There are people on this planet who are getting down on their hands and knees and drinking out of mud puddles because that's the only water available to them. And when we should think about what we do, leaving water running and, you know, our shower and all of those things. We in this country are extremely blessed, although there are a lot of people in this country that are less fortunate, and they are going through and some of the things that people, we want to say that hunger is in another country and hunger is over there in India and in Africa. There's hunger right here. Right here. There are people right now in our city and probably in the cities of the people who are on this line, there are hungry people within 10 miles of them. Thanksgiving is, you know, they're going to go find a place to eat, you know, for our meals. So we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be grateful for. We are extremely blessed, just extremely blessed.
Yes,
and then I'm at work right now, and I'm extremely blessed because I have a job. There are people who need one. It's just so many things, you know. But you know, like you were saying about, you know, I work a lot of times with sick people.
Yes,
there are people. If I don't bring them a glass of water, if I
don't
sit them up, they can't get a drink of water.
Think about that. Yes, yes,
yes. And, I mean, these are we're blessed. So we should, Thanksgiving should be once a month at least, and it should be a few times every day. It really should be a few times every day. So I'm just blessed and grateful and just appreciative, you know, to be alive, to be able, you know, to eat when I want, what I want. And, you know, I pray that I don't ever look, I don't ever get in a position where I don't understand how blessed I am. I want to lose my mind. You'd have to lose your mind. Not to understand how blessed you are, you know. And no matter how bad I think the day is, I go to sleep, I get up, and there's a new one. Allah blessed me with another one, another chance to make right what isn't. And you know what I'm telling you, we're as Muslims and people that believe in Allah and the Creator, we're spoiled. Mm-hmm. We're blessed.
Yes,
so that's
right.
That's all I can say. And I'm hoping that everybody out there has a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell everybody, you know, if you're stuffed, you overeat, if that's the worst thing that happens to you tomorrow, then thank God. But, I mean, you could be in a car accident, you know,
yeah.
A truck could run you over, but if your biggest problem is that you overate,
mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah.
That you don't get indigestion. So thank you so much,
yeah,
Sister
you
Tana,
you
for
with
answering
indigestion,
that.
You can take some. You can take some Tums for the indigestion, but I mean just a blessing of just having that kind of food. You know, just you know, be grateful
yes.
and enjoy it.
Yes,
and
but
that's
all
I wanted to share.
Well, you know, thank you. So you said as we say used to say down south, you said a mouthful. In terms of the gratitude that we have to have, the consciousness that we have to have, and those things we take for granted, and you know the type of line of work that you do, you actually see people in caretaking for them, that the things that we do that we don't even acknowledge, we don't acknowledge those things. And you don't really, really appreciate even the various parts of your body and how they should function until you no longer can function.
Usually, yes.
It was
able
to function. So we can take those things easily. We can take those things easily for granted. See, so when we as Muslims, we say Alhamdulillah, it also should be noted that Imam Muhammad say, yes, it means all the praise belongs to Allah, but all the praise and thanks. So Alhamdulillah means that it's all praise, but all praise and all thanks, it goes to Allah. So you can praise Allah, but you also have to thank Allah. And, of course, for us, we may not recognize it, but when we make our salat, we're actually saying that in the Al-Fatiha. The Al-Fatiha is the opening, and it opens our mind, our consciousness, and being consciously regardful to the two mercies that Allah has extended to us as Al-Rahman, the most merciful benefactor in which we, as his human creation, are the beneficiaries of his beneficence. This is very, very important. And also the second mercy, which he extends to us, and he teaches us and he grows us and develops us also by redeeming us when we go off course. And then we can, many of us can look back on our lives and we can ask ourselves, where would we be if Allah would not have blessed us with this way of life of Al-Islam? Where would we be? I'm not asking anybody to answer it per se. If you choose to answer it, you just press 1. But Imam Muhammad taught us about religion. The root meaning of religion is to realign you with the fitra, your original nature. So do we give thanks to Allah for redeeming us, what it is that we became unconscious of, or we just didn't know, you see, in that regard? Does that require, you understand, that we should be consciously regardful and thankful to Allah for even being consciously regardful of him and standing the praise and thanks to him for even giving us a conscious mind, a God-conscious mind? How many of us think about that? How many people do you run into when you have a conversation with them? You know, they are as unconscious as anything that you can think of. That's in the creation, that's totally disregardful or unconscious of his creator.
Hey, Mark,
so, Mark, yes.
I need about 5 minutes. All the mics are open, so if you can continue talking. I'm going to step away for about 5 minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay. Okay, good. So, yeah, so I got Sister Donna on and everything. So Sister Donna and Mira Muhammad, who have already called in. So if you want to like to share anything based on what I'm saying, because I think that Thanksgiving is giving thanks first and foremost to our Lord and Creator, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, in that regard, making this life possible for us. You know, when I was a boy, I used to think about what if I was what if I was an animal or something, you know, how long would I live? All these type of questions used to come to my mind. And I'm thankful to Allah that he's answered those questions. I've created you a human being, and I created you in the best of molds. And Allah has given us our true picture by giving us true scripture. And so we should have such an appreciation and thanks. We can never thank Allah enough. And we hear our Christian brothers and sisters say the same thing. And we need to understand that we can never thank Allah enough. And so our whole life is indebted. The deen means, the root meaning of deen means debt. We owe a debt to God for the life that we have, which meaning that we should strive to live this life the best that we can in accordance to God's guidance and direction for our life. It didn't have to be like that for us, but Allah made us conscious regardful. That's why we were able to take the Shahada tain. That's how we were able to alleviate and to eliminate anything else, any human being, anything in creation in terms of servitude. That's truly a blessing. You know, so when we talk about giving thanks, we're giving thanks for all the blessings that Allah has given to us. You know, Donna, I think about when you count money, and you count money, you ever count money and somebody interrupt you. And because that's so important that you're accurate in counting the money, most people will start all over again. So when I was a boy, the older people used to say, count your blessings. But you can only count what you're conscious of. So, you know, Thanksgiving, I'm not just saying day, but Thanksgiving should be all the days in terms of giving thanks for those things that we become conscious of. Not only in Allah's natural creation, when we learn something, when we learn something on the animal kingdom, or just in terms of science itself, how it has become knowledge but a benefit, but a mercy to us, we should thank Allah for that. It's things that we didn't know, and man is still human, is still uncovering and discovering many, many benefits in Allah's vast creation. And in Revelation, every time we read the Quran, there'll be something that's new that we gain from it. We have to say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, that all the praise and all the thanks belongs to Allah, who is the Lord of all systems of knowledge. And everything that Allah has created has a system of knowledge. In this whole universe, this whole creation, Imam Muhammad said he created for the human intellect, and he created the human intellect for this whole universe. Oh, that's powerful. Very, very powerful. But how many of us, you know, as human beings, know and aware of that, to thank Allah for that? We can never thank Allah enough for what it is that he has given to us, and we should be always asking Allah to make us consciously aware of those things, you understand, that we can't give thanks to because we're not consciously aware. So, Amira Muhammad or Donna, if you'd like to say anything, this is a roundtable discussion. You my guest. Please do.
Actually, you know, as long as we, I think the most important thing you said is that we have to be aware.
Aware, yes.
Of where our gifts come from, where these blessings come from. Everybody isn't. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because
mm-hmm.
sometimes they rely on things other than Allah. And sometimes we can't even rely on ourselves. We can't.
That's
we
right.
just can't. When we go to sleep, we have no guarantee that we're going to wake up.
That's right. That's right.
So we need,
you know,
we
Donna,
need to
you know
that.
That. Yeah. You know, you said something that brought to mind. I remember a few years back, you know, a brother said, he said, Mark Shahid, you lucky. I said, no, I'm blessed. He said, no, you're
mm-hmm.
lucky. I said, no, I'm blessed. And after he said it a third time, you're lucky. And then I said, I'm blessed. Allah put it on my spirit to say to him, or try to give to him the distinction in terms of being blessed as opposed to lucky. You know, oftentimes we hear sports athletes say, I was lucky. Or just even common everyday people say, I was lucky to this.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky to get that. When we say that we are lucky, we are discrediting our Lord and Creator. As if and though it was just happenstance. I happened to be here. I happened to get that. It happened to come to me. But we don't attribute that good that's coming to us with our Lord and Creator in terms of making that possible for us. You see, in that regard. So luck takes God out of the picture. For the conscious believer, we never want to take God out of the picture. For our brothers and sisters that are Christians and Jews and other religious persuasion, if you're conscious and regard for God, God is always in the picture. And the good that comes to you, we have to acknowledge that it was the Creator that blessed us with that good. It wasn't just by happenstance that you got this, a happenstance that you got that. This is totally being unconscious that there's a God that is the cause of the good things that we have in life. And this also, you know, this also, as you were saying, that you hope that you never get to a point where that you can't acknowledge, you understand, the blessings that you have in your life. This also humbles us. It humbles us as a human being, you know, to know that there is a God that loves us so much, that looks out for us when sometimes, as you say, we can't do certain things for ourselves, and we are dependent, and Allah will bless us with people in our lives that will be a help and an assistance to us. This is Almighty God, Allah working through His creation, even through His human creation, to bless us with people in our lives that got good hearts. You understand? And Allah puts the love and mercy between their hearts, as Allah says in Al-Harum of the Quran. He says, and He will put the love and the mercy in their heart. There are good people in this world, you understand, that express love. And it should not be on one day. So you notice I never said, what does Thanksgiving Day mean for you? Totally listen. I didn't say what Thanksgiving Day means to you. I said, what does Thanksgiving mean to you? You see, in that regard. And you're absolutely right, Donna. Because tomorrow, the person that usually is wondering if they're going to eat, and like you say, in terms of clean water, if there was a day that they would get a meal, that would tomorrow be the day that they would get a meal. But then what
mm-hmm.
about the next day? What about Friday?
Exactly.
What about Saturday, Sunday? What about next week? What about next month? We are so blessed. We don't even be thinking like that. It'd be more like our biggest dilemma would be, well, what am I going to eat today? It's what am I going to eat because I got so many things to choose from. What do I have an appetite for? But what about the hungry man who's hungry? And they will settle for a sandwich. They don't have to have much meat on there, you see. So I remember those days when it's coming up. We was poor, and sometimes we had sandwich with just a condiment on it, but it wasn't no meat on it, you see. I remember those things. This humbles you, and we should be looking to see how is it that we can help people that are less fortunate than us, not just for one day, but to do it on a consistent basis, establishing a food pantry. How many of us have canned goods and things that's been in our closets and stuff? There was a suggestion that was made by a believer at Alma Benoon here in St. Louis. I'll be one of the first ones to take a box and start taking stuff off of my shelf that haven't been used in a while, still good and everything, and give it to the needy. This is what we need to do, even when it comes to our clothes and things that we're not using. I just cleaned out a whole storage and gave it to people, gave nice clothes to men that could wear those things. My son did the same thing. And I'm going to start here in my townhouse, giving those things away. See, this is how we serve Allah. We serve Allah when we serve in humanity. We serve in other people, and we serve in people that are in need of things that we got more of than what we need. Well, I can say more, but please, you can make some commentary there.
I would love to share a poem with you. I would love to share a poem with you.
But go right ahead.
It might sound like a strange poem, but it's about sometimes we look at. I'm at work. But I was going to say sometimes we look at what we think is a bad situation, and we say, "Oh, I got to do this, or I got to do that." And I went to a beautiful sister's home one day. And up over her sink, she had this poem, and it goes, "Thank God for dirty dishes, for they have a tale to tell. While some are going hungry, you are eating well." So it was saying, even these dirty dishes. and the meaning behind it was, you know, we're going to, I got to do the dishes. Alhamdulillah, I have to do the dishes because I've eaten. I had something to eat. I had something to put on them. I had something to cook my food in.
Yes.
So it was I just thought that was the cutest little blessing.
Yes.
I really did. I thought that was the cutest little blessing, and I never forgot it. Thank God for dirty dishes, for they have a tale to tell. While some are going hungry, you are eating well. And I'm at work, so I'm going to have to go.
Okay.
Take care. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Sister Tana. Appreciate you coming on, being a guest here on the MGM Roundtable. Thank you so much. Press one as you go out. I'm gonna memorize that little poem, alhamdulillah. Rashid Salam, are you back? Anybody else?
Yes, sir. We don't have anybody else here. We have a few more people who come on the line, so you can ask that question.
Oh, yeah, we
want to
ask you, the topic tonight is, what does Thanksgiving mean to you? Going to ask you to press one. We got a few minutes just left. That's what the topic is tonight. You are my special guest, those who tune in. What does Thanksgiving mean to you? Please press one and share with us. I want to share a poem. After, everybody have what they say and all. Rashid, did we get anybody that have come on that press one?
No, nobody, Nobody raised a hand. I was getting ready to open the mic up anyway, just put them on the spot, but I'm not going to do that.
Everybody should be able to say something.
No, I got one right here. We got another St. Louis call. Hang on. Just what's
okay,
up?
Come on with that St. Louis caller. 636-383.
Please state your name. Tell us what you're talking
yeah,
about.
I know. That's my brother and friend.
Assalamu alaikum. From Wentzville, Missouri.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. What does Thanksgiving mean to you, Sabir?
Well, first and foremost, Thanksgiving is being thankful that you wake up every morning.
Alhamdulillah.
That's number one. You know, when we wake up, we just say, praise be to God who has given us the life after our death, because death is called the twin brother of our life. So that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if we just sit down and think, we'll be talking all day about what we're thankful for. And I'm thankful that I didn't get rear-ended tonight while driving home. This guy was so impatient that he went around everybody. And he could have paused and asked me. First of all, he could have rear-ended me. He was driving so fast. So I'm thankful for that. Like I said, you just sit and think. Just thank Allah for everything. If you're conscious.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, number one, I'm thankful for waking up every morning.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. So you are okay, though. Damage to the car, but you okay.
No damage. You didn't hit me. I could have been hit the way he was driving.
Oh, I see the way he was driving. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I misunderstood. So, that's really a blessing, brother. But those things that look like they could have happened, would have happened, but it didn't happen, and you know that is Allah. That's what we've been talking about tonight. Allah blesses us in so many ways, and sometimes we just take those things for granted. Oftentimes, you know, I don't know how long you've been listening, but some would term it as lucky. I was lucky. Oh, I was lucky that. You were blessed. There's a difference between lucky and blessed. Lucky is happenstance. Blessed is acknowledgement that Allah protected you, because not only could you get the car tore up, but you could have been hurt seriously, you know, when people are driving the way that they're driving and all, and so you acknowledge that. So we have to say alhamdulillah, as I said earlier, that Alhamdu, as Imam Muhammad have taught us in the Quranic Arabia, it means all praise, but it means all thanks. All praise and all thanks belongs to Allah. So not only do we praise Allah, but we also thank Allah for what it is that he gives to us in the way of not only nurturing and sustaining our life, but also protecting our life and guarding our life, but also evolving our life. And so, as you said, you so eloquently articulated that waking up in the morning is not a guarantee, because as you said, sleep is the twin brother of death. So we're unconscious at this point. So Allah gives us life after death, or he gives us consciousness after being unconscious. And so we are to return to God's will. And this is what Imam Muhammad has said. Sometimes we think that we have to die to return to God's will. But when we wake up every morning and Allah gives us life again after death and gives us consciousness after being unconscious, then we should say, and it's to your will I return. And so this is where the life is supposed to be. In our life, to return to God's will each and every day, we have a will. But if we're conscious and regardful of Allah, that means that we will return into God's will. And Imam Muhammad say that when we make the transition, we'll be forever returning to God's will. So alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Sabir, for sharing that with us, because, assalamu alaikum. Yes, go ahead. What does Thanksgiving mean for you? Somebody said they got one. Come on, I'm listening. What does Thanksgiving mean for you? Is that Fatima? What does Thanksgiving mean to you? Fatima? Okay. All right, then. Please mute your mic and all. Rashid, anybody else with their hands up? Rashid, Salam?
Okay, no, we don't have anybody at this time.
Okay, there's somebody in the background there. Okay, Rashid, I'm going to give you opportunity for any closing remarks that you'd like to make, and then I'm going to close us out for this session, the MGM Roundtable. What would you like to leave the radio listening audience with on the eve of Thanksgiving?
it should be a consciousness for us to know that Thanksgiving is a day that we should remember. We should be acting the same way every day towards each other and trying to make those things happen. So I said what I said earlier, but it's just a reminder of what we should be doing normally and naturally. It really
That's
is.
Right.
And so we say thanks for giving. So giving thanks is what we should always do. And I think a lot of individuals have demonstrated that in their comments tonight. So that's all I really need to say. So the mic is yours, Mark. We have one more hand to raise. One more
We got another hand. Let's see what they got to say.
Okay. We have 706-627. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I think I know who that is.
It's your brother, Muhammad.
Is that my brother, Muhammad?
Yes, I'm late. I'm late, but I'm straight. You know.
Brother Muhammad, you always look here, brother. One thing I never met you physically, but just listening to you, I have to say this, and you know, I'm a believer because I'm very learned in religion, and I know that flattery is a tool of the shaitan. And I don't use any tools of the shaitan, but when I say this, I'm saying it from sincerely from my heart. You always come straight. You know, you might be late, but you're straight. And the topic tonight is, what does Thanksgiving? I didn't say Thanksgiving Day. I said, what does Thanksgiving mean to you?
Well, like I said, the only thing we want to do is to always remember until we get out of this dunya and establish halal, that we had to remember that Shaitan is always trying to dictate to us when and how to give praise to Allah. So when we understand and be taught again over again on the meaning of all praises are due to Allah, then we won't let anyone interfere with our work that we got to be done, you know, and telling us when to do it, when to take the break, and all like this. Because Thanksgiving is every day for the believer. And we know that.
That's right.
We get thanks to Allah every day, all day long, even in our sleep, if we have that type of taqwa. You know, so we have to remind ourselves all the time as we support the help that Allah has sent in the world with just one day. We pray Allah that He would increase it for them like He did for us when we didn't even believe in Thanksgiving. We didn't have time for it. You know, so we know they're growing, and we know, and we pray that they continue to grow to where they'll come into the same understanding that we have, that all praises are due to their creator, the creator of everything we see and we don't see. Just want to say that.
Alhamdulillah. And, you know, I want to thank you so much. And just probably before you came on, I'll say it again, because I know you are learned in the religion as I am, and you can attest to this. I was giving them Alhamdulillah. And what our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Waqiuddin Muhammad, taught us, he said, Alhamdu, he said, yes, it means all praise. He said, but it also means all praise and all thanks belongs to Allah.
Yes, sir.
And that's very, very important. See, we praise Allah, but we have to also thank Allah. And we thank Allah for the mercy that He has shown to us as a human creation and how He has created us, and that we are the beneficiaries of Him introducing Himself in Al-Fatiha as Al-Rahman, the most merciful benefactor. We're the beneficiary of His beneficence And he's Al-Rahim, as the Imam W.D. Muhammad has said. He's the most merciful redeemer. And no, it was not Christ Jesus that redeemed. He said, Imam Muhammad told us that it always have that Allah has redeemed man through his word of revelation. That's how man is redeemed. We have to thank Allah. The praise and thank, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, like you say, each and every day, every conscious minute that we are conscious of God. Even when we go to sleep, when we wake up, we are to thank Allah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah for giving us life again after death, for giving us consciousness again after being unconscious. And Imam Muhammad say, and to God's will we return. You see, this is very, very important that we even understand the language of the Quran and know that alhamdulillah means all praise and all thanks. So as we learn on this learning lab and as we learn, we should do better, and then we should begin to teach others what they don't know. Even in our own community, they think that alhamdulillah just means that all the praise to Allah. Yes, that's true, but it's more than that, Imam Muhammad said, all the praise and thanks. And so when we talk about giving thanks, thanksgiving, just as you so eloquently articulated, is each and every day for the believer. For the believer, when you're consciously regardful of God, you know that he blessing us to take a breath, and we don't have to count how many times we breathe in a day. We don't have to count how many times we blink our eyes. We don't have to count how many times we swallow, and how he has put this creation together, his human creation together, and all the things that he has blessed us with that we're conscious of, but many things we're unconscious of, and we take for granted. So we've talked about a lot of different things, and a lot of great commentary has been given. And so we're forever thankful and grateful to Allah, but our life should be a testimony. It should bear witness of what it is that we've said in the Shahada Tain. And when we begin to do that, we're going to see the progress that we'll be looking for in terms of building that model community life. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, and assalamu alaikum. And I'm gonna close out with a poem. Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. As our beloved sister Donna had a little short poem, and my poem is Happenstance. Some of you may have heard it, but some of you may not have heard it. But I think it is appropriate to give at this time, and I'm gonna close with this. And the title of the poem is called Happenstance. There were six human beings trapped by happenstance, black and bitter cold. Each one possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. Their dying fire in need of logs. One woman held hers back. Upon looking at faces around the fire, she noticed one was black. Another man sat across the way, and he saw one not from his church, and he couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. A third man sat in tattered clothes as he gave his coat a hitch. Why should my log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man, he just sat back, as he thought of the wealth that he had in store and how he could keep what he had earned from the lazy and shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight. For all he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man of this forlorn group did nothing except for gain, given only to those who gave to him. That was how he played the game. With their logs held tight in hand and their fire still in need of wood. You see, dear believers here on the MGM Roundtable, They didn't die from the cold without. They died from the cold within. There's many gold nuggets and jewels in this poem, but I only want to really illustrate and emphasize one very important. In this life, if you're always denying, you're slowly but surely dying. But if you are giving, and even when you no longer have a presence, you'll always be living. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, speak not of my servants is dead, for they live, but you perceive not. And it is those ones, you understand, that's living and giving, that always will be living because they have been given. And nobody can give more than our Lord and Creator. So we thank Allah, first and foremost, for every day, the opportunity to give thanks to Him for what it is that He has given to us, those things that are blessings and we are conscious of, but those blessings in disguise that we are not conscious of. And we thank Allah for our families and what it is that they give to us, those that are present with us, those that are no longer present with us, but help us to get to where we are. We thank Allah for our neighbors, those neighbors, you understand, that look out for us and we look out for them. And then in terms of supplying neighborly needs, as Allah has stated in the Quran. And we thank Allah for the community and the community life. And we thank Allah for His Rasulullah, His Messenger Allah, in living and in demonstrating the type of model community life that it is that we desire to have. And we thank Allah for all the pillars that become the foundation of this religion that will help us to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High and perfect in the best way as He has created us. So I want to say to our radio listening audience, we have so much to be thankful and grateful for. And we celebrate it in our community, and it'll be in the nation's capital this year, December the 9th through the 11th, a time to be grateful. I'm looking at being there, and many of us haven't seen each other in a few years. We have a lot to be grateful for. And as a wordologist, we want to say to you, thank you. Two words, thank you. The acronym for that is to have appreciation now keeps you overcoming ungratefulness. And I want to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio as tomorrow, as it's Thanksgiving Day that's recognized on the Gregorian calendar, where many will be with their family, their friends, and maybe community members enjoying the company of them. There will not be a live broadcast on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Inshallah, God willing, we will return December the 1st for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized and can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with email Mikhail, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, for Salatul Jumu'ah. That'll be this Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production on IWDM Radio is Words Made People. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. Once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed host, email Mikhail Sayer. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. At the beginning of the week, the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, and his recurring guest, instructor, Abdul Shahid on a very outstanding production, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, where you need your pen and pad for all the words and terminology. It happens each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And that brings us back to the night with Dr. Patricia Slaudeen and yours truly, Mark Shahid, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And each and every Wednesday night, it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, the community EMWD Muhammad, but also outside, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And tonight, it was a topic on what Thanksgiving means to you. I want to thank all of you that have tuned in, listened in, and particularly those of you who have participated in saying what Thanksgiving means to you. So I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening in to the production tonight. A special thanks go to my brother and friend, a very distinguished, esteemed host, and also engineer, Rashid Salam. So until next time, this salam, and this thanks goes to you and yours. May God's peace be with you, now and always. Salamu alaikum.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. World won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Assalamu alaikum.